All right, here we go, folks. Welcome back. Mountain West Flyer podcast. Is that what we're branding this today? Not football, not basketball, what we're doing. Website for all the sports stuff we do, MWWire.com. Website, Facebook, Twitter, all that stuff. I guess Facebook starts Mountain West Flyer. Is that correct, Matt, since we have a new rebranding? Because I got hoodwinked or scammed on something about 6 months ago.
Facebook.com/Mountain West Wire. You should be good to go.
Go there. So we're not talking football today. We're not talking basketball. So it's like, what are we talking about? What do we do? Well, if any listener knows what we've been doing the past couple years, we sort of do a music sort of episode. It's myself, obviously Matt, and then our buddy Brandon Blake. Can you say hello to everybody? We're all about the same age. It's always like we know most of what's going on with this stuff here. So say hello to the folks that you're back joining us for a kind of a random, fun, different type of show.
Hello. Hello, everybody. I'm back and looking at this bracket, I feel old. I feel old.
Well,
right?
I feel a little old.
I have thoughts on what should be included and what's not included. So we'll let Matt kind of take the lead of this part here. So I'll give the website really quick. It's from MarchXness.com's website. So March, just the letter X, NES.com. We've been doing
two
this for a couple.
S's, actually.
What is it?
It's two S's, N-E-S-S.
Oh, apologies, I can't read you. So, yeah, just go there, MarchXness.com. They've had a couple past couple of years, like grunge, one hit wonders, fads, all sorts of interesting bad songs as well. But now this year, it's called Plaidness, which, if you think about it, it makes a lot of sense. Mostly, I'll let Matt go ahead real quick here, but it's kind of like a grunge type bracket. Is that kind of the best way to put it?
Yeah, pretty much. Maybe I can lead off by saying by quoting my old graduate thesis chair, Stephen Church, who's, been a kind of a yearly fixture in writing with this tournament, because it basically March Exness combines three of his greatest loves: essays, music, and single elimination tournaments. So like you mentioned in the past, they've done, one hit wonders, they've done, bad music, they've done, goth music, things like that. So this year, like you mentioned, all about grunge, which I was excited for because, more so I think than a lot of the other brackets that we've touched upon in the past, this is the stuff that I grew up with personally. So I'm very, very interested to see how things shake out and what people have to say about it.
I would agree too. Like some of this is not all of it, but the style of bands I've been on here, kind of what I mostly listen to, I guess, a little bit. And you could tell, like, from what bands from this era carry over to, because what's the time frame on these mostly, or what's the earliest, late 80s on some of these?
So it runs through the methodology a little more in detail on their website. But the idea is, like, you take songs from 1988 to 1998. And as you go through it, you'll obviously see that, obviously there are some of the big heavy hitters that you would expect to see in a tournament like this. But there's also a lot of other bands that, you might consider them more grunge adjacent, or, you would more closely identify them with like other genres of music. But, they all came about within this same era, the kind of the late 80s, early to mid 90s. And they all have in common kind of like, the musical aesthetic, like the crunchy guitars, or, the lyrics and what they're usually all about, like, anger, or, the need for freedom and things like that. So
what's like
on their face, there's obviously a lot of similarities from, or differences rather, from song to song, but as a group, they all tend to share kind of the same tendencies and ideas and things like that.
What do you got, Brandon?
Oh, I was going to say to sort of what Matt's point to the music of, because I'm like most of you guys, this was basically the music I grew up along watching aside with it. And I also like that this is the most, basically if you're of our age and if you have the remembrance of the late 80s, what most of this music was the antithesis of, it was basically the answer to hair metal. Basically big excess of, party LA scene, like Poison and all those groups. Basically all those big hair groups that did
the
ballads.
Rock ballad stuff, AC/DC kind of.
Well, not even AC/DC. I was thinking Poison. Think Poison, and this bracket is the total, like, antithesis of it. And we'll probably get to some of these, so.
That makes sense. So who do you think, Matt, like, is there bands on here that shouldn't belong that made the field?
So, I mean, I don't know, because it depends on, you know, how far afield your tolerance for grunge is. So, like, obviously, you know, some of the songs are a little mellower than others. And, you know, when you think of grunge, you tend to think of it as having an edge. And so, you know, you look at some of the songs in the bracket, like, you know, Collective Soul, for instance, I think is a really good example where it was definitely came up in the middle of that era, and it definitely has kind of shades of that little, you know, the heaviness in the middle of the song, especially. But, you know, on the whole, you think of it as being a little more muted than, you know, something like a Nirvana or something like that. Or, you know, Green Day, I think a lot of people tend to think of them as being more closer to like punk or pop punk and things like that. So it really just kind of depends on your tolerance. But I mean, off the top of my head, no. I didn't really see anything that really stuck out like a sore thumb.
I would say, like, it depends, too, like, and some of this we'll get to as well. Like, when you look at some of the albums on here, it's like we were talking before about Nirvana, because they are obviously probably the most popular one, that this genre, essentially them, Pearl Jam, kind of the Offspring, but they're kind of what you just mentioned. Like, look at what Nirvana does. Like, I felt like, what two songs they have on here? Was it In Bloom, and what was the other one?
Heart-shaped box. Yeah. And so the idea is that they began with about 125 songs, and a lot of those were solicited from people like me who were really interested in being a part of the tournament and writing essays for these different songs. So, like, just as one example, like, I really wanted to write about Even Flow from Pearl Jam. Like, if I was going to write about one song from the era, that would be it. And so I put my name in, and I encouraged them to put it on the list. And, you know, obviously I didn't make the cut. And they ended up going with the other, and the person who picked Pearl Jam ended up going with the other song that was on the long list anyway. I don't know. I mean, a lot of the obvious names are there. And so you really have to go and look at the long list and see, you know, if there are any deep cuts on one hand that, you know, you're like, if you were like super into grunge back in the day, you would ask yourself, well, why didn't they get there? But I mean, on the whole,
the bands are there, I think. I felt like Lithium should have been on there, or Nirvana over anything else. Mm-hmm. I think that's more towards this, like that. Or even Pennyroyal T, kind of, because that guitar type thing at the beginning. Like those
just
type
like,
of things.
I guess as one example, I was very surprised that nobody ended up picking Filter.
Interesting, yeah.
From, you know, because the one song that I think best fit the era, the only song that was on the long list, was Hey Man, Nice Shot. But I could see why they wouldn't, because one, it's kind of an offshoot of Nine Inch Nails, since, you know, Richard Patrick came from Nine Inch Nails, formed Filter, and that was kind of their first big song.
Well,
and
Foo Fighters and Nirvana too, so that's kind of the same thing too. So why exclude
but that tends
one
to
the other?
That tends to be more closely identified with you know, industrial rock and things like that.
Fine,
but I think you know, the trade-off is that you get a lot of the bands that are from earlier in the era, or, you know, bands that, you know, in 2021, you may not have remembered off the top of your head, but are nonetheless important to kind of that whole scene.
And also, I'd like to just throw in, Matt, you mentioned groups. Looking through this bracket, and I'll get to the one who I feel won't get to it. I'll say who don't belong in this bracket, you know, because the bias is included in this. I was surprised I didn't see Faith No More in there. And maybe that's just really showing my age, but I figure a band like, to me, like Faith No More was a part of sort of that time period.
Mm-hmm.
If you said anything, I haven't looked through their discography in a minute, but they were more associated with that. They started in the 80s, but carried on through most of the 90s. I was surprised I didn't see them on this bracket, because musically, they were sort of a lot in line. They're probably more a lot in line with a lot of the late 90s music. But I didn't see Faith No More on there. But everybody else on here, except for the one we'll get to.
We got a one that should be completely X'd out of here.
Yeah. Especially because it's who it's going up against. But surprised I didn't see Faith No More on there. Again, you know. But everything else seems... Okay.
I would say, like, your point up, like, some that are close, like, you have Pearl Jam, who it's not really like, if you have Pearl Jam, why not have, like, Red Hot Chili Peppers somewhere? And I know it's a people pick, making the pick, like, I want to write about this particular song, so it's more about, here are songs I like, and I want to write an essay about. And so not that it narrows the field, but it could – not whatever it happens. People have their choice in music and stuff. But it's kind of interesting that nobody would pick – well, I guess whatever. If you're going to submit whatever, Matt, how you said, you got to submit to what you want to write about. But Pearl Jam being there, the song fits fine, but it's also odd to see no Chili Pepper songs on there, even though they have a quite range of what they do, like From Under the Bridge or Californication are quite way different from what they do. And so that's just kind of one little note, not note, but like something I noticed where, and kind of the Offspring a little bit, but they're more actually fitting here. But that's what I kind of thought, like, that's kind of surprising seeing Pearl Jam and some other stuff. And got to say this, I don't like Alice in Chains at all, but I had to pick them winning like two songs just because. Like, I'm not a fan of it, but like the song's not bad, but I was like, I just don't care for it too much. But what they're going up against, I'm like, well, it's still better than that. So that's the only couple of things I had, like seeing a couple omissions. Like even like going to Weezer, it's kind of the same thing. Like they're kind of way out, not out there, but they're kind of just different. I guess their guitar riff fits into it. Like, is that how it works, Matt, I guess, with some of their songs? Just because of the little at the end or beginning that screeches off till it's done.
Yeah, I think, what Weezer does maybe more so, because they, on the website, it lists kind of like the different things they were looking for. There's that loud, quiet, loud dynamic. And I think Weezer does a really good job of moving from one to the other. It's just kind of like, the real soft part that, because I think that, what is it? Say It Ain't So? The song that's in the.
Yeah.
So like, of course, Say It Ain't So, it opens and it's really mellow and then it gets hard and then it goes back to being mellow. And then that's, that's something that you definitely see a lot of in a lot of grunge music.
So this went from, you said 88 to 98?
Yeah.
Had it gone one more year, well, okay. I have a quip, and because one of my favorite bands to listen to is Blink-182. And so Enema of the State came out a year after, because in June 99, I'm looking at right here, that's why I know the dates. I just don't know it off the top of my head, just because I'm just not that guy. But one of my favorite things they've ever done, I don't know if you guys listened to them, but their album with like Dude Ranch is like probably my favorite of anything they've done. Mm-hmm. And it probably would fit perfectly into this, because this ended up in 97 when it came out, but it wasn't super popular either. But if I go through that, like, there's a ton of songs that, like, are probably better than anything they've done since then, like a handful. And so I don't – it just comes down to preference of who wants to do what. It has that one song, what is it? Everybody knows that song, Damn It, essentially. But everything – like, that one probably – I think that would fit perfectly in here. But, again, it's just kind of who's going to pick and who wants to write about it, I guess. But that's, like, one band. Like, if they're going to pick one song, that's what probably the only one that would make it. Because everything else would be super obscure, relatively speaking, unless at the time. And even, like, it's never on the radio except for that one. So that's kind of one band I thought that could have fit right in. But unless you really were focused in on that band and that one song and knowing the time frame, I guess.
Yeah.
Because that one would have easily, like, for me, I think that fit fine. It would have probably, for me, won the whole thing. Because it's, like, one of my favorite songs ever. But that's just me. And I don't, I'm not writing a nonfiction essay and a song. Sorry, guys. So, Matt, really quick, what are the essays about? Like, what's the... Because you've done one before, correct?
I haven't had a chance to. That's why I was hoping to do it time around.
I apologize to throw you under the bus. I thought you did one like 2 years ago. But what are they – so how does this work? Because the voting starts on March 1st. What are the essays kind of about, like, since you're in the process of trying to get into it, and I've read some here and there, but, like, what's their – not the purpose, but, like, what is the essays about? Like, it's about the song, but, like, kind of what more in the song? Like, what are they trying to pull out of it to tell people their story?
Well, that's why I liked writing nonfiction. That's why I went to graduate school to do it. It's because you can kind of take it in any direction that you want. And just as an example from past tournaments, just drawing again on my old thesis chair, Stephen Church, I think it was 2 years ago, there was the Mark Shredness where they're talking about 80s songs. And, he wrote about Dream Warriors, which was featured, I think it was in, what was it, Nightmare on Elm Street 3 or something like that. And, he ended up talking, I think, about, like, how Robert Eglund, was doing cocaine with the band and things like that. So, the idea is, like, these writers tend to have certain connections with these songs, which is why they're so interested in writing about them in the first place. And so they end up taking them in, like, a lot of different directions. Like, another writer I remember, I think it was 2 or 3 years ago, Elena Passarello, who is one of my favorite nonfiction writers, she wrote about Return of the Mac. And it was a video essay about her listening to Return of the Mac for 24 hours straight.
Oh, boy.
And so, that, like I said, and those two ideas can kind of give you a sense of where, writers can end up taking it. So, like, just as a recap of last year, for example, it was about March Badness. The two finalists were Captain and Tennille and Charlene. which you know, I think we may have touched upon them very briefly when we recorded the podcast, but I don't think any of us expected it to go that far.
No.
And so, yeah, you talk about Muskrat Love being the number one bad song of all time. So, yeah, it, like I said, you know, and that, but that's part of the beauty of it. It's like we could talk about the music, but then, you know, once the essays come into play, which we won't know until they're revealed starting tomorrow, we're recording on the 28th of February, tournament begins March 1st. And so we won't know how the essays relate to the songs until they drop, if you will. So yeah, it's, and that's part of the beauty of trying to prognosticate as what's going to go far and what might not.
And that can make a difference. Like if you maybe realize, cause it's also what's cool about, you mentioned video, they might listen for 24 hours or they did a video essay. It's like, how did it could become about, I heard about the song because it was played in the background of 30 seconds on some random movie or TV show I watched, like not even when it came out, like in 2002 or something, like not even in the time frame. Like those are interesting to read. Just like I fell in love with the song, or I had this special, who knows, listen to him, a family member, a dad, a kid, a brother, whatever, cousin, girlfriend, boyfriend, like, oh, it hit me there because of this. And so those are all exciting and fun to read. And they vote, like, was it Twitter and the website, correct? On March,
yeah.
What's their Twitter? I know they changed the website name. Is it just March? What is their Twitter?
March XNESS.
Okay. So same as the website.
Yeah.
Just making sure there. So are they doing any playing games now, or is it just strictly 64 and we go ahead and start?
No, it's strictly 64. Yeah.
No planes like before. Cause I remember the last couple of years, like, all right, we got the plane brackets. Get in there.
Yeah. I don't think they're doing that this time around now.
All right, let's get to the regions here. So here's the thing. We don't discuss this beforehand, so we kind of, not that we wing it, but we kind of authority you guys and we can all handle, right, everybody, I guess, what we do. So let's start with you, Brandon. In the first round, like, we're not going to pick like a certain bracket area, but like, what was let's start with this. This is a simple question. What was like a surprise song that you forgot about or you didn't know the name about or the band, but you've heard it a million times? Like, oh, that's who that is. Was there some band on there that you saw like, oh yeah, those guys?
I think I'd go with, for me, it was, I think I would go with, I'm scanning through the bracket, so.
Okay. There's a lot of songs there.
Through here. Yeah.
So you can throw to people and don't prepare yourself, like, wait, we're doing what? <I'm
sorry. laughs> I'd go with, I completely forgot about these guys. Mudhoney, Touch Me, I'm Sick. I knew of them. And this is going to be so random. The movie, what was the movie? Tommy Boy. Not Tommy Boy, I'm sorry, Black Sheep. I knew of them because of that movie. They played maybe like 10 minutes, a 10-minute clip. This was when the Chris Farley character was doing something, I don't know.
Something crazy.
But I remember, but it was like, because my curious nature, I wanted to look up Mudhoney, and I was like, oh, not interested. I completely forgot about Touch Me, I'm Sick. So I was like, oh, yeah, I haven't checked that out in a while. That movie came out. So I was like, oh, okay. Check that out. I completely forgot about these guys. And it's like, you know, with all these brackets, you just, these last few years just sort of helped you dig up old classics. So the Mudhoney one, I was pretty surprised.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PI, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends, so for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcast, homecast.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
What about you, Matt? Any song that you thought, like, hey, who's this? I forgot about these guys or didn't know the name?
Sort of. Yeah, I mean, in a different sort of sense where you know, I don't even remember where I rediscovered Bikini Kill, but I discovered them. I remembered another song of theirs sometime last year, you know, Sugar. And, you know, based off of that, I looked at Rebel Girl and I listened to it. I was like, okay, yeah, I really dig this. And like, I hadn't really thought about them in, I guess it would be at least like almost 20 years at this point.
So is this playing through or do you guys not hear this? I'm curious.
Yeah,
Okay,
I have my headphones on. That's what's coming through. So I'm like, all right, let's make it sure I figure out to pick it up here. So this is part of Bikini Girl. Because last time I'm like, I put both earphones on. I'm like, nothing. Is it working? So like this is,
you know, and I like it because it's no frills and it's like, just kind of, it's in your face the entire time, which to me, more than anything, is really what grunge is all about.
No, I agree. That's a good one. So like, I've never heard that song and that particular one. I have it, what does it have on my bracket here? I had it, I don't have to get to Rage Against the Machine, so it's like, that's a tough one for me. I don't think I had it winning because that Rage song's still really good.
Oh, yeah.
So, what are we doing here? It's like, come on, that's like one of the tougher songs to me. This one, I had a couple, but like this one, I went with the Low song by Cracker. I'm like, because I heard, I'm like, okay, I know who it is. I heard it before, but I'm trying to remember exactly. But like, this is kind of in between. Like, this may not even really fit if you think about it, but it kind of does once it starts to gets going. But like, I heard this, I'm like, I've heard it before. But isn't there some other, like, white rapper guy named Cracker? Isn't there some guy like that, some weird...
You might be thinking of Uncle Cracker.
Maybe that's what Cracker. I was like, this can't be him. I'm like, no, it's not them. But I was like, there's something familiar about the name. And I'm like, am I even going to listen? Am I just going to pass on whoever instead?
That's the difference between you and me, Jeremy. I've sung this song at karaoke in the past.
No, I've heard it. Like, I just didn't know, like, who sang it or anything. Like, I'm familiar with the song, heard it a ton. But I see the name, and I'm like, wait, there's that guy. This can't be him. It can't be that person. No. And it clearly wasn't. And I'm glad it's not.
Jeremy, compared to Uncle Crack, this is actually better than...
Well, I know.
I
agree. I'm just saying the name...
Miles away.
No, it totally is. But I remember the name. I'm like, I know it's... I don't remember what song they sing, but you know the name because there's like one or two songs they had that were popular at some point. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, okay, let's just listen to it. Because I'm like, I'm not just going to skip a song because it's stupid because there's bands I don't know. I'm like, oh, no, this is one I actually know and like. I just didn't know the name or the artist about it. All right, so let's get to this. Let's get to I'll start with you, Matt. We have the same opinion here. What was like the toughest bracket to go through? Because we kind
of... So if you're thinking in terms of region, and this is going to be really hard to visualize if you're not looking at it. You can go to the website. You can look at it yourself. For me, it was top right. Because I look at the top four seeds in that region, and maybe now's a good time to point out that the seeding was largely rooted on markers of popularity as best as the selection committee, which is basically just, Ander Monson and someone else whose name escapes me. I apologize if they happen to be listening at some point, but you know, sales and ubiquity tends to tie into a higher seed in this tournament. And so I look at the top right section. I see Alice in Chains. I see Nine Inch Nails, Smashing Pumpkins, and Foo Fighters as 1, 2, 3, 4.
Yeah.
And that's hard. That's a hard region to navigate because I love all of those songs. I mean, I'm not particularly fond of Smashing Pumpkins in particular because I've always made the argument that Billy Corgan sounds a lot like Steve Urkel, in my opinion.
Oh, boy. Not that I can listen to get that together.
But you know that. But then you know you look further down and you see Tool's in that region. Yes. Presidents of the United States of America is in that region. Butthole Surfers is in that region. And you know there's a lot of potential for upsets, I think. But there's also just as much potential that most if not all of those high seeds could just roll through based on how good those songs are.
And I was gonna say, Matt, Tool sitting at a 10 seed. I looked at that bracket. Tool is a 10 seed. That's low.
Mm-hmm.
Everclear, how I feel about Everclear either way, you know, that's like, for me, a 1A, 1B scenario, but yeah, and then, like you said, Matt, that bracket is rough terrain. Yeah.
All right, is that what you're picking, Brandon, top right?
Top right was number two for me. I was looking at bottom left.
So we all have different ones here, all different. Yeah,
that's the, for me, it's Nirvana, Live, Collective Soul, Back, Radiohead, the aforementioned Cracker and yes. Stone Temple Pilot. And I was sitting here looking through it and it's like, oh God, Weird Al Yankovic's an 11 seed. And
that song.
Do with that.
No.
Do with that song, what you
will. Get rid of it. Come on.
I'm sorry.
Still counts.
I know. It still counts. It still counts, but.
It's not going to win.
Come on. We didn't think Captain Tennille was going to win.
Fair point.
So it's like, Matt's bracket, the top right is also difficult. Bottom left is no cakewalk either. Just my personal preference. I think I like Collective Soul to win it. I have a soft spot for that group and that song. Sort of that.
We'll get
hard past, sort of like the heyday of grunge. I'm jumping ahead. Go ahead.
Mine's top left. So, like, again, you got these Pearl Jam, Offspring, Weezer, REM, Green Day, Better Than Ezra. Like, I pick, like, throughout those, like, I'm looking through, I'm like, even some of the songs, like, that Pearl Jam song, Corddry, I'm like, okay, I kind of remember it. But then, like, even looking at who they're going up against, like, who the heck is Local H, Bound for the Form? Like, that song's really good, too. But, like, they're not going to be Pearl Jam. Because for the type of song it is for Pearl Jam, it's in this bracket, it fits much better. And I just like it better. But, like even they have Garbage there, I'm like, okay, is that song really good? You listen to it, I'm like, it's only good because it has the one, the chorus part, the beginning where it's really good. Then it kind of goes back. I'm like, that's the only time people actually like that song, I think. Like, when they start doing that part, when they made the title Happy When It Rains, when they do that part, I'm like, okay, that's when people like the song, in my opinion. Or maybe it's just me. But besides that, I'm like, eh, whatever, so they don't win. But, like, that one I felt was very difficult overall. Like Offspring and Pearl Jam song, those were, like, that was a crazy, crazy bracket for me. I thought that was one of the tougher ones to go through and pick. And, like, top right, I don't like Alice in Chains, but they won a couple songs because I know it's good, but it's not my thing, but it's better than what they're going up against. But yeah, that one, whew, that was tough. I'd say bottom right was, not too difficult to pick for me. Even though I didn't pick the number one seed to go all the way through and Soundgarden there.
Now, see, as far as that top left bracket is concerned, like, I feel like you're spitting a lot of hot takes here.
Well, what do you get at?
And maybe that's a lead into the next question that I had in mind is, do you see any of these, like, maybe let's say top two seeds as being a real danger to get UMB seed in round one? And I look at Corduroy, and as much as I love Corduroy.
I thought possibly. I was thinking about that.
Bound for the Floor is a very, very hard matchup for them.
It is?
I think so. I would love to hear Brandon's take on this.
Like, this is a very good song. I was close to picking them, but I'm like, I just couldn't. This should be much higher than 16.
It should be. But that's why I think it's a real threat to take down Corduroy.
What's your pick then? Who'd you pick then, guys?
That's what I'm saying. I took Bound for the Floor in that one.
I think I did too. I think I did too.
That's fine. That's fair.
I just think, next to Nirvana and Alice in Chains and Soundgarden, that just, Corduroy is a very precarious one seed, in my opinion.
I agree it's maybe high, right. But the song itself is still really good.
Mm-hmm.
And just to transition over, to make sort of the college basketball analogy, Pearl Jam Corduroy is a one seed. It kind of smacks. What was that year? The year Wichita State
got to the final four.
Not undefeated.
Not the Kentucky year. They played in like round two.
No. Not that. They got to the final four as a nine seed.
Okay. Yeah.
A one seed Gonzaga. That Pearl Jam. I wouldn't be shocked if Pearl Jam wins the first. 116, even though I had Down for the Floor winning. But I could see Pearl Jam not making it out of the round of 32. A la.
Yeah. New Mexico losing to Harvard 15-2, I saw in person.
Yeah.
Where the Pete Beat reporter was like, I didn't bring clothes for another day. I need to go shopping tonight. Sitting there at the, whatever it's called, where the Jazz play at the moment, at the whatever year it was, Delta Center or something, or I don't remember what it was, Vivint or something, but. Like, but that song, it's right. Like, Pearl Jam's either going to lose or probably win the whole thing, or be Final Four, win the whole thing. That's the swing. Because after that, like, if they're going to be against, say, the Offspring or Mudhoney or, like, Weezer or Green Day or Better Than Ezra, it's like, I think they're better than all those other songs. This first matchup is probably, like, I have to go listen again, but this takes time to go through and listen to the song. So I encourage you all to go do it. The playlist that's set up and made. But that, those two together in the first round, like, that was probably almost the hardest pick out of anything out here.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know. Was there another pairing you guys thought in the first round that, like, it was that close? Like, especially considering discrepancy of seeding between a high and a low.
See, I don't know. I guess if I were going to point to another one, I'd go to that bottom right bracket and I'd look at the Breeders as a two seed with Cannonball going up against Fishbone and Sunless Saturday, because I think of the Breeder, I think of the Breeders, like, I like that song, but it's, it smacks of being an overseed for some reason. Yeah. And so I think, you know, depending on how receptive people are, voters are to the essay, that seems like another one for where it could get knocked off a lot sooner than a lot of people would expect for almost the exact opposite reason, where maybe the familiarity isn't as high and the 15 seed, Fishbone may not necessarily be as strong as Local H, but in a situation like that, you never know. And it seems like it could go either way at first glance.
I went with, real quick, for me, to answer your question, Jeremy, you said it was, what was the hardest one to sort of pick out of this bracket? I went with, I kind of went with the obvious, I guess, Everclear and Presence of the USA.
Yeah, that's pretty close.
That was just, okay, just for me personally, myself, it was like, I had to go back and listen to both of them because just,
Because like here's Everclear, it's like
a head to tail thing.
Yeah, because Everclear, it's like it's more like a Weezer type song than more what you're thinking about in actual grunge sense. Where it's good, it has those aspects, but it's a bit different, but still a really good song, just different.
Right.
So that one was tough for me, but I who'd you pick of that one then, Brandon? Who was your choice?
I had to flip a coin. I had to flip a coin. I went with Everclear at the end.
This one's tough to beat, man. Starts off hot, starts going at you.
I know.
Yeah.
I know. That's why it's like, dang it. I think.
No pick is wrong here, but it's hard. That's what makes it tough. It makes it fun. So let's do this. How do we want to proceed, Matt? Because I finally finished my bracket. I've been, as we've been talking, you probably been clicking away a little bit here and there, trying to make some tweaks after hearing. So, do the essays come out as they vote, so you can read the essay and vote before it closes, right? Is that how it
works? Yeah, so essentially you get 24 hours to vote, beginning tomorrow, and I think they have them out listed out for 4 matchups per day, if I'm not mistaken, at least for the first round, and then they kind of whittle it down after that. I'm pretty sure you can find the entire schedule on the website, but as you mentioned earlier, you can vote on the site and also on Twitter because they account for both. So yeah, starting tomorrow, it's essentially 4 matchups per day.
And it looks like here you could submit a vote for – oops, there goes my computer buzzing. But you could submit your bracket to – prizes are available apparently, it says here.
Mm-hmm.
So there's an email on there. If you go to the front website on marchexness.com, it's underneath the bracket, the far right. It's just marchexness@thediagram.com. So just
And you need to do it by 7 a.m. on March 1st. So if you're listening to this, hopefully we'll get this up sooner rather than later on Sunday.
It'll be up Sunday night. Don't trust me. It'll be a quick
turnaround for you music enthusiasts out there.
Yeah.
And then also, just a quick note, when I did mine, when you open up the I did a Google Doc. So when you open it, you have to either request access or just make a copy, and then you can edit as you please.
Yeah.
So just be aware of that. Like, I can't type in here. Just make a copy in Google Sheets, and then you can just create your own and save it and send it. That's what I'm doing actually right now. I'm going to email shortly. All right, so how do we want to go through the brackets here? Like, it's a lot to go through song by song. That might be a bit much. So we want to kind of give a couple thoughts on a song here and there throughout, and then we kind of give our Sweet 16 or something.
Well, one thing we've done in the past is we treat it like an actual bracket, and we look at the 5-12 matchups in particular.
Okay, let's do it. You want to start top right?
I guess the question is, and maybe to focus it a little bit more, which of those 5 seeds, in the same way that we always look at, the 5-12 matchups in March Madness, which of those 5 seeds is most at risk of an upset in round 1, in your opinion?
Go first, Brandon, on this.
I see Collective Soul winning. I again, my bias. I picked that song. I see Garbage one. I think I would go, the more likely is probably the Screaming Trees one. Just, I didn't remember it, you know. Just, again, point to much as my personal bias, I'm probably going to upset somebody who's a big Screaming Trees fan. I'm sorry. But, you know, I just, well-known five seeds, Garbage, Collective Soul, Butthole Surfers, we mentioned. I think Screaming Trees just loses out. Just, I see that one as the five seed falling.
Yeah. I think I'd agree, to be honest.
Yeah, you know, just...
I think says less about Screaming Trees, in my opinion, and more about the Refreshments.
The Refreshments, right. And again, a lot of these, and we've experienced it, we've done this for, maybe how long have we done these,
Mark?
Three or four years, yeah.
Remember, right. We have the One Loss podcast, because I screwed up.
Oh, that's right.
So I think this is year four of us doing it, but only three have been actually published.
We get a lot of these 5-12s that are just, or 4-13s, or 1-16s that are just, man, how do we pick this one? But, yeah, sorry, Screaming Trees.
Wait, here's that song to Bandidos. You wanna... It's pretty good. Like, it gets going, too. Like, it's not super popular from what people have heard before, but something where if you like this type of music, you're going to be like, oh, yeah, I can get into this song.
Right.
And so... It's a little bit. Mine was different. I agree. This one I marked because it was like a close one. Put a couple of like X's next to it. But the one actually I mentioned before was the one with Garbage. I'm like, I did not pick them to win because that song is only good at points. So I like went with In the Meantime to actually win that one as the 5-12. That's my, I believe it's my only upset I have. Let's see. I almost went to Lemonheads to win that one, but I did not go with them. But that's the only one I chose as a 5-12 for you to move on just because. Like, again, the Garbage song, everybody knows it, but it's like, is it popular because it's in every movie or commercial you hear, or is it because it's really good? And so if your song gets input in a TV spot or radio spot or something, like, okay, it gets more, that's where the popularity comes into, Matt. Because what are they taking to sales? YouTube clicks, stuff like that, I'm assuming?
As best as they could, yeah.
Yeah. And so that's probably why, it's not like, again, most of these songs, like, there's probably only a couple where I'm like, that's not a good song out of this whole list. Like, there's very few that I'm like, I don't like. But I can like more than others, and that was my only one. And I almost had them like just move ahead real quick. Like I had Weezer winning because kind of simple for me. But like that, them in versus Weezer was pretty close because that Weezer song, Say It So Isn't, for me doesn't, well, in my opinion, shouldn't really be fitting on this field, but it's still a good song. Like I still got to go with a good song, right?
Yeah. I would have went Buddy Holly, like for my Weezer song.
Yeah.
Buddy Holly.
Yeah. That fits more. It has the same type of guitar type of stuff. It's similar thing, but. Yeah. Or even the, was it Surflax America? Or I think that's what it's called. Same type of deal. It's like those with the guitar stuff they have are, could be considered, I think, are a little bit better, even though I still like this one quite a bit. Almost anything they do, I'm like, okay, I'll listen to that because it's good.
All right. Nothing wrong with Say It Isn't So. Say It Ain't So. Yeah. But just, I would have picked better. There's better Weezer.
It's like me and Nirvana. I think it's like pick Penny Royalty or something better. It's like that fits more to this, but they're not bad songs you're listening to. But all right, so. We have what do we have? Each of us pick 1-12, I guess. Is that how it worked?
Yeah.
I think me and Brandon are on the same page about the Screaming Trees.
I apologize. I apparently hate the other. I hate them. I'm not a fan, so it's either you hate them or love them. Apparently. All right. So, who is a? If we look on here, when was? Here's a good question I can get to. Who is the first number one seed for you guys to get knocked out, like the soonest?
Pearl Jam.
Project,
I have a fight here apparently soon. Mine. Why is that? Why is it the case? Why I look at mine because my bracket's tiny print here. What was your reasoning? Because we already discussed it. They lose to the first round. They actually lose to like the second round. Like when are they
first round? Out? That's what I said.
I had them second round. I see them bare. It like, again. It's the I don't even know. It was 2013 NCAA tournament. Gonzaga. I promise y'all, I do talk right.
The Zags.
Yes. The Bulldog. The Zags. Being a one seed, winning their first game, but getting bounced off by a 9 seed. It's sort of that scenario. Don't get through the 16 seed. It'll be close. only for them to lose to my bracket had Mud, but I had Mudhoney.
Mudhoney. All right. Yes. Mine was Nirvana losing in round two because In Bloom, I'm like, yeah, I could take it or leave it, really.
So now I'm curious, who did you have the losing to?
Nirvana.
Yeah.
Oh, live.
Okay.
I like that song quite a bit.
Interesting.
Yeah, Matt's like, it should be much different than this.
Because one thing I'm really interested in, and I don't know if there's a real good way to shoehorn this in, is, you know, there's definitely, like, you know, genre differences between songs, and you know, if you're like me, you're thinking, okay, you're going to hew probably to favor the songs that are closer to what you typically think of as being grunge, right? And so there's a certain subsect of songs kind of littered throughout the bracket that I'm very curious to see how they do. So, like, Bikini Kill is one. But in the same vein, you know, I look at a group like Veruca Salt. Or, you know, like I think you mentioned Garbage earlier. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking, how well are the grunge groups that are headlined by female singers going to do in this bracket?
Yeah.
Because, you know, I see there as being a very interesting potential dark horse. For me, you know, that matchup with In Bloom is really too close to call. I'm still kind of thinking about which one I want to move on in that one.
With Sunny Day Real Estate.
But I see
the other one, right?
And in the same vein, you know, the Cranberries with Zombie as a sixth seed in the bottom right corner. You know, that quartet or quintet, I forget how many bands I just listed. You know, those, I think, as a group, tend to be very close to that kind of core aesthetic of what grunge is all about, in my opinion. And so I'm very interested to see how they stack up, you know, against a lot of other songs in their potential paths deep into the tournament that may not line up so well with that aesthetic.
Same thing, Matt. You said the same thing. I'm sorry, Jeremy. Same thing about, you know, would you also include Hole in that too? Because when
I
think of Hole, you know, that to me, that's that antithesis, that sort of, when I think of grunge, they're one of the groups I think about.
Definitely.
That's the thing with this too. They're in a bracket, so you pick who you want now at this point. It's not like we're making a bracket. So that's why some of these songs, which we all agree on, may don't really fit necessarily what it is, but they're in the group. Like, so it's also a voting preference. Well, I don't really think this particular song from, say, let's just go with like Weezer, is that really a grunge song or not? I don't think they really are overall. It's like you say, that's your, not me, but like that's your thought, which I don't really think they are anyways, but they're here. So they're in a bracket, so you pick who you want because the bracket says they're what they are. However, if you want to go one step further and say, hey, I don't really think they fit this category, and so they're out no matter what. It's like, are there any bands like that? Like, you're not voting for them just because you don't feel they fit the category despite them being in the field?
Ooh, can I go first?
Because
it points to, I don't know, Jeremy, if you're going to, or Matt, if you want to get to the group or what group that doesn't belong in this bracket, but Matt, you kind of pointed to it towards with the Cranberries. Their 11 seed appointment.
Oh, okay. I see what you're looking at.
What the
Creed?
What? Why? Why?
Okay. Can I be the Creed defender for a moment?
If you must.
Their first album, which is what this song is from, My Own Prison, actually is pretty close, or it actually does embody a lot more of what the grunge aesthetic is about than a lot of their later stuff. So, like, you know, you're probably thinking of songs like With Arms Wide Open and stuff like that, right?
Right.
Or it's definitely very not grunge, right. But like if you go through and listen to that album, it's actually not that bad. It's actually pretty good.
Right, and you know what, Matt? To be fair, I would probably just, when I looked at this bracket and I didn't get around to the Creed discography, that in my mind I was thinking everything from like 2000 on, like
that album came out in 1997, and it also like, and to me, it was more of a shock to not see One on there ahead of My Own Prison, because I felt like One is definitely a little bit closer to grunge as well, or at least like what you might call post-grunge or something like that.
Right. And I think when I first looked at bracket, I scanned through and I saw Creed. I was like,
pass.
You know, nah, I'm good. Go on cranberries. You know, it's, but to Matt's defense of Creed, the long pause was intentional. you had mentioned that, you know, I looked through their discography and saw, oh, okay, they had something, they were something before they did whatever they did. So, all that being said, I had the cranberries beating them, but yeah, that was my.
So what about you, Jeremy?
I don't think Weezer really belongs, but I like the songs. I picked them to win a couple. I don't really think they're grunge at all. It's like, just because you have the random guitar riff doesn't mean you're a grunge band at all, beginning to end. So that's, and again, it doesn't matter. They could have one particular song, like the Creed, or not the Creed, but Creed has, they could have different songs, like the Wide Open, or if you listen to Weezer's more current stuff or whatever, it's not necessarily, it's kind of all similar. If you think about it, they're kind of the same beat, or like if you listen to like Tripping on the Freeway, that's more of like an upbeat poppy type of song, kind of. But like overall, like even the song itself, like if the song fits, it fits, but I just don't think that band really should be in the field at all, despite me picking them to win. Because again, you're in the field, but that there, I don't see how they really fit this genre at all. I'm very surprised when I first thought that they're on. I'm like, okay, and it's this song too. So that's kind of my feel. Like I can like the band, but it's people submitted to go for. But that's what I feel. I've listened to all their stuff. Like, what is it? The Beverly Hills song. It's like, it's not really, you know what I mean? Like stuff like that, which people don't really like a ton, was still reasonably popular at the time. Or they did they covered like a dozen songs, which is pretty cool. Like, because they're pretty talented what they can do, but I just don't think they're like in this field really. Like, I don't think they should be.
I had a very similar.
Africa.
Yes. That was one of them.
Yeah. No Scrubs.
No Scrubs. They did a bunch. It's, go check out the Teal album. My kid, like me and my kids, like, let's listen to it. I'm like, sure. And they like the song. Like, Aha's on there and some other stuff. It's pretty entertaining. It's pretty a little different type of thing to listen to.
See, what you said about Weezer, I had almost the exact same thoughts about Beck.
Yes.
Yeah.
I like Beck. I like Odelay. I like Loser.
Yeah.
I do not think Loser belongs in this bracket.
What? Would
I'm thinking Soylent Perdedor. I think it's going to be a loser in round one.
Oh,
pardon the pun.
I see what you did there, Matt.
Like it's close. But I think this is more along with like what Creed put in there. It's not much different, I don't think. Like I think they're kind of similar.
Mellow to be considered grungy.
Yeah, that's a fair point. I'm not disagreeing. We also got the accordion in here. Why don't we all just say Weird Al and move on?
Yeah. That's fair. That's a fair point.
All right. So let's go. Like, let's do our, should we do what, Sweet 16, I guess, to kind of go in that round and kind of see where we're at to kind of blast through this, not to bore everybody with our picks.
I haven't even thought that far ahead yet. Can we narrow it down to the final four, maybe?
Sure. Okay. Let's do that because we're here at 45 minutes. We can kind of wrap this up here in about 10 or so. So sure, go Matt. Let's start with them. Do you want to do all four at once, or do you want to kind of go one by one with everybody?
We can go one by one.
All right. So let me get my note up here so I can keep track. So go first. Who's your? Let's start with top left. Who do you have? I guess advancing in kind of a Y type of deal.
So this one was definitely the most wide open one for me because, like I said earlier, I think Corduroy is at risk of getting bounced very early, and then beyond that, it seems like a number of songs, in my opinion, could make a run depending on how things unfold. So I sort of played it safe. And I think that considering its path to the final four, that Doll Parts, you know, it may not be the most exciting path. I think it's a very kind of workmanlike path to the final four, but I have them beating Buffalo Tom in round one. I have them beating Better Than Ezra in round two. And then I think regardless of whoever comes out of the other grouping, like, you know, REM is fine. And Green Day isn't necessarily my cup of tea. But I think it could beat any of those teams to get there. And so, you know, I think the only thing that might upset them is whether or not Corduroy makes it out of round one. Because I think of all the other teams, I could see it coming out of the other side of that bracket. To me, it comes down to either, like, Bound for the Floor or Corduroy. I think, you know, the other songs don't really stack up in my opinion. So it may not be the most exciting choice, but that was the one that I ultimately settled upon.
So again, a Doll Parts, you say, is number two going to make it. Okay. That's your pick. And this is the song Hole right there, which starts off a bit slow, man. I'm just saying.
Yeah, I know. I get it.
All right, so Brandon, what do you got for this region?
For the top left?
Top left, yeah. Yes. Top so left. Make sure you're okay. Bracket up, people. Come on.
Okay. It's like the actual brackets. You know, this year
it'll be like that. There will be no West, Midwest. It'll be top left, top right, whatever you want to be.
I think I saw Lillard is like A1, A2 or something. But I think I had going through the brackets and thinking about what happened, kind of what happened the previous few years. I think I have Green Day winning it all. It, for no other reason other than pop, you know, the wide variance of the voting, you know. Like I said, I agree. Pearl Jam doesn't get out of the round of 32. I stand by that. I can see Weezer and I can see Weezer getting to the Elite Eight because people like to say it ain't so. People are people.
People have their opinions.
I wasn't going to say that. It's a family podcast. I'd like Hole as the dark horse to win it all. I think Hole to me was very good. Better than Ezra also, but I think Green Day wins just because of the wide variance and it's a name. It's a name.
So they're like Duke then is what you're saying.
I was thinking because like you, Matt, Green Day was never my cup of tea even during. I never got them. I see Green Day winning. Although I my preference either Green Day or Weezer, but if gun to head, I go with Green Day.
Did either of you like we know they mentioned 16-1, either of you consider putting have Hole losing in the first round?
No.
No.
Oh man, I did. I had them losing to Radio
okay,
Tom.
That's fair.
I'm looking at my bracket upsets, but I'm like, yeah, I went with them. I listened a couple times, I'm like, that was another tough one. That's what made this top left quite difficult. My ultimate pick, which if you've been listening closely, probably know, I end up going to Pearl Jam pretty far. I have them winning the whole thing over going to like the Offspring, Weezer, and then Better Than Ezra, my other team, going farther than Pearl Jam, going to the final four there. I just think like, but you're not wrong. Like the others, like the song there, like Bound for the Floor, like that, if that was any other number, it probably gets, for me, it gets anybody else, would probably go nearly as far. Cause it's that good. And I've never really heard it until like this past week or two. And that's pretty bad shame for not knowing that song or not really hearing it. So I'll start here. I'll go bottom left. I'll just continue kind of go backwards again. So bottom left, any big upsets I have, I mentioned Nirvana losing round two to Live. Cause I think that song's, it's one of the songs where it doesn't really fit, but I still like it. So I don't care. So I'm picking them to go and win. Nothing else really stood out for me, like going through obviously Weird Al loses. I guess I didn't have Radiohead winning because I don't like that song. So I guess one of my big picks was picking like the concept, their song, like that song to win two games or two rounds. Like I went that was a pretty good song. I like, but I went with Live going the whole way, beating Cracker to go up against Pearl Jam down the road.
Interesting. All right. Brandon, what about you?
I had Collective Soul winning. I guess that would be the upset because I think I could see a scenario where either Nirvana or Beck wins. Again, names. People like names.
name recognition.
It's what sells. But I picked Collective Soul to win out and beat. I had Radiohead actually. Collective Soul, Radiohead going and would be the final eight, but with Collective Soul winning.
All right.
Now, see, for me, this was a very easy decision once I saw how things laid out. And it may be unexpected, but like on its face, I don't think it is. I'm looking at Temple of the Dog as a sixth seed. And I'm thinking not only is it underrated or underseeded in this bracket, but it's better than a lot of the songs ahead of it. In the bracket, some of the higher seeds. Like, I think it's better than Collective Soul. I think it's better than Radiohead. I think it's better than Stone Temple Pilots. And if you want to talk about name recognition, you're talking about a band that had both Chris Cornell and Eddie Vedder.
That's a good point, yeah.
Good point, yeah.
And so I think it's going to do a lot of damage that maybe a lot of other people don't expect in this bracket. So I have them beating Veruca Salt in the Elite Eight to get to the Final Four.
Interesting. So you go with, okay, that's a good one.
I at the very least had it to beat Weird Al. you know.
Weird Al. Right?
I think at least I had it going to the Sweet 16. Yeah, no. Because I think I like it. Because to Matt's point, it's better. I like its chances better than Radiohead, Crack, or Stone Temple Pilots, which I was never a big fan of those guys. No, never mind. I'm thinking of something else. But yeah.
No, so what about top right then, Brandon? Who do you got there?
Ooh, right.
Group of death.
Yeah,
for you guys.
Indeed. Oh, it is. I think I had. I wanted to pick Tool so bad. I just have a soft spot for Tool. I went to with the name recognition, and I think I went with Nine Inch Nails to win it.
Jeremy, how about you?
You don't seem happy about it, Brandon.
I'll probably change it tonight. I'll probably change it before this podcast ends.
No,
but
no, we're good. We're in pencil still. Pen's not until tonight, tomorrow morning.
Yeah.
I was looking at overall my brackets as I'm looking at it. Top left, number one seed. Bottom left, what are they? I guess they're an eight seed or whatever. But I went with a seed that is lower, an 11 seed. So I went with President of the United States to go through to the Final Four.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
I just, listen to him, like I already mentioned, I don't care for Alice in Chains. Like, I know the song's fine. I like the Butthole Surfer songs. Tool and Nine Inch Nails, whatever. I'm not a huge, sorry, Brandon, not a huge fan of them, but they're fine for what they have. No, try to be nice. No, I know. It's just whatever. It's fine. It's just, again, it's fine. I get it, but I'm not going to put on repeat forever. But that song, it's something where just tuning in and listening to what everything else has on here from within the group and kind of what the song, I'm trying to play it here if my phone is working properly. But it's it gets going right away. This is kind of stuff I like, more, a little more fast paced and get going. It just hits your face right away and just goes. And out of everything else, I'm I think Alice in Chains for me is too kind of metally a little bit, if that makes sense. Kind of more for this. My taste in general, I'm not Metallica or a huge metal fan. There's a couple of stuff here and there, but for what it does, it's kind of a mix of what I really like and kind of what this is about. And so that's why I went with that song, because it's kind of catchy. It gets going right away. I could argue it's not necessarily a grunge type of song a little bit, just because of kind of how peppy it is throughout, but again, it's in the field. So I'm picking them to go far, and they're going to beat the Butthole Surfers to move on to that Final Four spot.
Now, see, for me, I think this is top to bottom the hardest region to figure out. But I also think Alice in Chains is a behemoth.
It is. I just don't like it. That's my opinion. Whatever.
I think that song is going to roll very easily into the Final Four.
Should it, though?
Yes.
Why? Why should it?
Think of it. Okay, so think of, its cultural cachet. One, Alice in Chains is one of the central groups of, when you think of grunge, they're, one of the handful of bands that you tend to think of. But then on top of that, it also has the cultural cachet of having been featured on the single soundtrack, which is perhaps the number one kind of cultural item that really kind of catapulted the entire genre of music into the mainstream. And so I think for those reasons, that extra level of familiarity and just kind of its centrality to what grunge is all about makes it a really easy choice in what is admittedly a field or a region full of real contenders, in my opinion.
No, I can't disagree. It's not, it's a fine song. I just don't care for it. That's all I can say. I have no good argument. This stuff right here, this is what you think of grunge stuff, this type of stuff. So maybe my metal-y part's a bit off a little bit, but
this is this is also core to my childhood too.
Is that too?
Dirt came out when I was 8 years old, and I didn't understand the angry subtext or anything like that. Yeah. But this is the kind of stuff I was listening to after Little League games when I was 10. You know what I mean? And so it's also very near and dear to my heart, which is why, relative to everything else, I think it's gonna roll.
Gotcha.
So what about bottom right? What do you got?
Okay, as for my bottom right, because Matt picked on me to go first this time, which is fine. bottom right, it's my bracket's gone. Where'd it go? No, my bottom right bracket. This bracket, I'd say it was easy or hard, but it was just kind of it was just there because none of us picked it as a difficult one or like the most tricky one to get out there. Because you have Stoungard and I was that top seed. I went with Rage to go the whole way to the final four in this group. So beating like the Cranberries, which is I like the Cranberries too. Like when I was young, like they were like one of my favorite bands, like in what junior high or something, or even younger, I think. But that like the Flaming Lips. I'm like those bottom four, like 7-10, 2-15. Like yeah, you got the Breeders, you got again the Flaming Lips and stuff. But like I just felt the Rage song was good enough to kind of bypass those to not be too concerned. Like my number one seed, I had them losing to Blur. Even though song two is kind of too catchy and, oh, we need a good song to play real quick. Let's just play Blur. It's like 2 minutes when we get out of here. You know what I mean? One of those songs when you're on the radio. It's like, all right, oh crap. Who programmed this wrong? We've got to get a quick song in here. So I'll play Blur. And it can literally go on almost any station except for like country essentially. But I just went with Rage to go because that song it's just good. That's all I gotta say. When I think it's good and Blur, it was a simple, Blur could be the popular thing that you guys mentioned before. We all have like, the name recognition, whatever, and it was Blur. They have this and, like, what, one other song, essentially, what they're known for. And right. They're like, oh, I want a song, too. We'll go that. They'll move on. Go. They'll beat – who's the Screaming Trees? I don't know. They'll beat them. I don't care. They're going to move on and keep going. Or Bandidos or whatever you want to say about those songs and bands. But I thought Rage was more embodied of what should be done in this bracket. But, again, I'll say a million times, during the field, it doesn't matter. You get to pick who you want because there's these 64 teams. But I go with Rage to go up against POTUS in – Final four.
Brandon, you want to go first? Or you want me to?
I'll go. I went with like Jeremy. I went with Rage to win it all. Yeah.
Yes.
I think I did. I had Rage beating Soundgarden in the final of that bracket. Because I think I like them to get over Bikini Kill, over the Cranberries, and then. Soundgarden beating Jane's Addiction. I wasn't a fan of Mountain Song. James had some other stuff I liked, but I think I had Rage beating Soundgarden in that side of the bracket and getting to the final four on the top bottom.
All right, Matt, for me,
I love Soundgarden. I think Super Unknown might be my number one favorite album top to bottom of all time. I think Fell on Black Days is not the song I would have chosen for this tournament. And so I wanted so badly to pick them for the final four, but I couldn't do it. And I think ultimately, and for me, it was a coin flip between the Cranberries and, you know, one that you mentioned very briefly in passing, Jeremy, a minute ago. Placebo is a personal favorite of mine. And so for me, this one was definitely more of a gut thing. Then most of the rest of them, like I wanted to pick Fell on Black Days, but it's not the song I would have chosen. And I think relative to Pure Morning in particular, that would be my pick. And so that I've got them going up against Alice in Chains in the final four.
So, sorry, say it again. Who you have? Placebo?
Pure Morning from Placebo.
Okay. I was looking there. I was like, wait, okay. Who was your top right again? Because apparently I didn't type it down here.
That would be Alice in Chains.
Alice in Chains. Freaking whatever. Come on. It's fine. All right. So final four here. Let's get our picture. I'll just start first because we'll wrap it up here in a moment. So my final four, top left, Pearl Jam versus Live, POTUS versus Rage against Machine. My championship will be Pearl Jam versus POTUS. Good enough for you guys? Do you care? Any thoughts? The remainder bus?
That's fair. And that's the beauty of a tournament like this is like, you know, you literally don't know how things are going to unfold.
You're right, because we said, remember Captain Tio, whatever. Oh my gosh. All right, so who's your title game, Matt?
I've got Hunger Strike over Doll Parts, and I've got Alice in Chains over Placebo, and then I've got Temple of the Dog going all the way. Yeah.
Oh, did I mention my winner all the way, or did I not say that?
I believe you did, but we can mention it again one more time if you want.
President of the United States wins the whole thing for me, which is quite shocking for me going through this. So I go with him to win it all.
All right, Brandon, what do you got?
I had my final four, Green Day, Collective Soul, Nine Inch Nails, Rage. I had Collective Soul and Rage in the championship game with Rage winning it all.
Oh, that's a good one. All right, so that's our three different do we have, I was going to say something stupid, but never mind. I'll move on. So that's our champion. So Matt goes to Temple of the Dog. I go President of the United States, Brandon with Rage Against the Machine, and watch it be like, second skateboard at all somehow. I don't know. I'm kidding. It's not going to happen.
Yeah, no. Watch Teenage Fan Club, which is a 14 seed in the bottom left. Watch them beat Radiohead and then beat Weird Al and then somehow get past like Stone Temple Pilots or something like that to get all the way.
Oh, so
you never know. I mean, it's going to be something like that.
No. I don't want to. Okay, let's wrap up on this. Who's like a team, like, or what, I keep saying team, you know what I mean, a song or just like a dark horse that might kind of win it all, like that we didn't pick, that you could see them winning it. Not even like a dark horse, like any seed that's not your personal favorite that you think that could win it all.
Matt, you want to go?
Yeah, oh, sorry, go ahead, Matt. Yeah, so.
Okay. Give me Dinosaur Jr.
What? Okay.
Because, again, underrated song, favorable matchups, I think, especially if it get past Soundgarden. You know, I think it stacks up very well against the other songs that I like potentially coming out of this bracket, like, you know, like The Refreshments, like Blur. But again, it's mostly comes down to who comes out of the bottom part of that bracket, because I think it's going to have a really hard time getting past, you know, either of those two songs that I picked there. But we'll see.
All right, what do you got, Brandon?
I think I'm going to go with, like, the team.
See, we keep doing it. You're welcome.
I'm probably going to go with the shocker of them all. It will probably be Beck and Loser. I mean, I'm not a whole – I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if they win, just, again, name recognition, guys. Name recognition.
So who's the biggest name on here? Is it just Nirvana? Like, who would be a biggest name on here?
Like, I'd say Nirvana. Probably for nostalgia. Green Day. Yeah. Green Day would probably.
They're still going strong, and Weezer too a bit.
Weezer.
But most of these are conventional kind of one hit wonders, kind of. Not one hit wonders, like one or two songs.
Yeah, there aren't a lot of these bands that are still going at the same level that they were in the early to mid 90s.
I guess the only ones that could be more popular might be what, Foo Fighters? Possibly, is that about
Foo
it?
Foo Fighters, yeah.
Yeah, they've kind of hit a steady cruising altitude by this point.
Yeah. I guess, yeah. And Weezer's kind of, they're still putting stuff out, but they're, I don't know, they're, I guess, close to the area. But my pick, I guess it'd be the one who I have going pretty far. Like we mentioned before, like the 16 seed, Bound for the Floor, I'm just going to go with them. Why not? It's like probably top five song of the whole group here. Mm. Like, it's that good. And, like, it's going to be hard because, okay, people know Pearl Jam. People know The Offspring. People know Weezer. Like, look, people know Green Day. So, like, who they're going up against. Like, that's probably the best, the REM's in there too. Like, that's pretty good. And then a hole as well, like all the band names, like that has bracket, as we mentioned, probably has the most name recognition, most popularity. And so a song or band that people aren't familiar with might just bypass unless you actually go in and listen to it. But I would recommend listening to them and finding other stuff for them. But like that one, if they can get by, because it's a tough thing. It's like, again, like you mentioned, Duke, UNC. But okay, we have UMBC, we have Weber State winning, we have Bucknell winning against Kansas. It's like, okay, we know that it's good, but it's Pearl Jam. Come on, guys. It's Weezer. Come on. They're not going to go past them. And so that's probably their biggest obstacle is just who is this band and song, and just they might click Pearl Jam just because in the first round and be done with it.
Right. And that's why I had, you know, like Beck or Weezer, somebody like that, I wouldn't be surprised winning, just, you know, people know the names, you know. I think I heard somebody say it, you know, with the NCAA tournament, we like Bucknell beating Kansas. We like Northern Iowa beating Kansas. But when we get towards like the Sweet 16, we want Duke and Kentucky. And I think, and maybe UCLA, but who knows when they'll love to be good again at basketball. I think we'll probably go with that the closer we get. Just a prediction.
So just a reminder for everybody listening out there, the last champions, like previous champions by year. So last year, the champion was a 14 seed over a 12 seed. 2 years ago, 2019, it was, a 13 seed over a 3 seed.
The Crusaders.
Or Crux Shadows.
Or Crux Shadows, sorry. Crux Shadows over the Creatures, I guess. Is that right?
Yeah. So that's like 13 over 11. And then in 2018, it was a 13 seed over a 2 seed.
And then I remember 2017.
Way back in 2017, Natalie Imbruglia as a 16 seed took down a 6 seed OMC in the one hit wonder bracket. So stranger things have happened, and there's a very high likelihood that someone we didn't mention here, and probably multiple bands that we didn't mention here, are going to make some serious runs in this tournament. You know, that's just how it always plays out.
I already know it's going to be. It's going to be the world Weird Al fans come in strong.
No.
Oh, Weird Al. He does good what he does, but it's like, come on. Whatever. I got in the field. So I think this wraps it up here. Our random off-season music funness episode where we chat about this. So the field, remember, I'll post this Sunday, and I'll put on Twitter too, like the links beforehand, MWC Wire, to kind of go see the field, the bracket, sign up, send it in. And Matt, so this goes, what, 4 songs a day essentially? Or how? Yeah, what's the frequency of voting here?
Yeah, so it's 4 songs a day starting tomorrow, the 1st. And basically just continuing every single day until it's all wrapped up later in March.
Basically about almost a month's worth, essentially.
Yeah. So the championship is March 29th. So basically there's a couple of breaks in between rounds. But like the first round starts on the 1st, goes to the 8th. Second round is from March 9th to 12th, and then the 15th to the 18th. So there's going to be voting going on pretty much every day next month, and we'll be sure to retweet and keep y'all abreast of how things are going.
Gotcha. All right. So yeah, check us out. Follow March Exodus on Twitter. Matt will probably tweet a bit more than I would. I'll keep an eye on him, but you'll get the updates out from him. But go vote, turn in your bracket, have some fun. Let us know who your number one song is. And hey, if you listened to this non-football basketball show, thank you. It's fun. It's a little different because we have a little bit of break before like conference tournaments start up. And as for football, there's not much going on, really. Drafts come up soon and stuff like that. Spring football, sort of. But if they even do that, because we know how it is, because gestures to everything at the moment of what's going to happen or not happen. But, yeah, so thanks, everybody, for listening. And we'll be back another day for football, basketball, whatever we do here on the podcast. And we just had a little break. This is just fun, right? We just kind of mess around and talk about other stuff. It's always good, right?
These are always fun. I always love doing these, so.
Appreciate you hopping on, too. It's always fun. All right. All right, everyone. We'll see you next time.